Joyce, could you read that the entire chapter of chapter 1:1-17, Romans?
Paul, servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God, for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Okay, now go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Regarding his son is Jesus Christ, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So that means, in here, Jesus has two status. One is as to his human nature. He is the son of David. Son of David, that means the descendant of David. You know, in the word, in the Hebrew word, there's no grandson. Grandson is the same as son. Okay? In English word, there's something called grandson, great-grandson, stuff like that. Jesus Christ called the Son of David. Son of David means not necessary. He is the immediate son of David. Maybe after a few generations. Okay? So Jesus Christ, as to his human nature, from a human perspective, is the son of David. Is a descendant of David. From God's perspective, Jesus Christ is son of God. So what's the reason why Paul, at the very onset of his letter to the saint in Romans, he make that clear who Jesus Christ is? Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord, from human perspective, He is Son of David. From God's perspective, He is Son of God. What is the reason why He said it this way? Because at that time, the reason why He crucified Jesus Christ, and He also later on crucified and stoned the Stephen to death, is because they don't understand Jesus' question, as it is recorded in Matthew. Will you turn back? To Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 to 46. So you write it down right beside Romans 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4, you write that equal to Matthew chapter 22, 41 to 46. You remember in those days, a lot of people asked Jesus questions, and Jesus answered them all. But when Jesus asked them questions, they can't answer. So you write down Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, equal to Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. Verse 41 to 46. Emily, could you read it? Matthew chapter 22, verse 41. Holy Spirit, that means He's filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, there's only three persons that get anointed by God. The first one is priest, second one is prophet, the third one is king, and they are anointed. Jesus Christ is anointed. He is the Messiah. Okay? Now, and what is the proof? What's the proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of David? It's very easy to prove. All you have to do is trace back the genealogy, who gave birth to Jesus. Mary gives birth to Jesus, right? Joseph did not give birth to Joseph did not give birth to David, right? Mary gave birth to David. And Mary, we trace back, Mary is the daughter of David. Okay? And what's the proof that Jesus is the Son of God? I know he's the son of David, but how can we prove that Jesus is the Son of God? In chapter 1, verse 4, by his resurrection. Right beside resurrection, you write it down. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 9-10, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. He lives to God. I know that Jesus was called the Son of God. He's my son. This is my son, okay? In Matthew chapter 3, during Jesus' baptism, the heaven opened and a voice come down and saying that this is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Emily, could you read it? Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Matthew chapter 3 verse 13. What are you reading?
Romans.
Matthew chapter 3 verse 13 to 17.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so. Now it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At the moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him.
Coming down on him, okay?
And a voice from heaven then, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, and him I am well pleased.
So, this is the first time a voice from heaven saying that this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. The second time is in recorded in Matthew chapter 17 during Jesus' transfiguration on the Mount of Transfiguration. Could you read that? Matthew 17 verse 1 and all the way to 13.
After 6 days, Jesus took him, Peter, with
took
him,
with him.
Took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them, His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, who I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him."
Okay, I want to stop here. I want you to write it down. Right beside 3:17. You write down 17, 1 to 5. So right beside 17, 1 to 5, you write 3, 13 to 17. You know what? When Paul write the first chapter of Romans in verse 3 and 4, he didn't quote Matthew. He did not quote Matthew chapter 3. What's that? 13 to 17. Nor did he quote Matthew 17, 1 to 5. In these two incidents, one is during his baptism, the other is during his transfiguration. It's a good proof that he is indeed the Son of God. Right? He didn't use that. He didn't use these two incidents. First of all, during his baptism. Secondly, during his transfiguration. He was transformed, right? His glorious light coming out from his body. We know that. Only God can do it because God is light. The light wasn't shining from outside. It's from inside out. Okay? In these two incidents, the Bible says, a voice come out from heaven. That voice is the voice of the Heavenly Father saying to his son, "This is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him," right? But Paul did not quote these two incidents. What did he quote? He quotes Psalm chapter 2 verse 7. He quoted what God saying to his son in his resurrection. Emily, I want you to read Psalm chapter 2 verse 7, and then I want you to quote Acts 13, 33. During Paul preaching, he explained to us what Psalm chapter 2 verse 7 really means. When did God the Father saying to his son, "This is my son, today I have become your father"? Is it on the day of baptism? It is on the day of transfiguration? No, it is on the day of resurrection. Number 3. That is what he quoted. Why? Because you write down Romans chapter 6, 9 to 10. During his baptism, he's immersed into the water. That means he's willing to die and bury underneath the water. And then what? And then he come up. Right? In the transfiguration, what did the disciples see Jesus? He sees the glorious light coming out from his body. in during the transfiguration, Jesus talked with Moses and with Elijah regarding his departure in the city of Jerusalem. And then he's saying that 3 days later he will be resurrected. So these two incidents, baptism and transfiguration, imply his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But in Psalm chapter 2 verse 7, God the Father saying to his Son, "You are my Son. Today, I have become your Father," is in the day of his resurrection. Because in his resurrection, he only died once. He will not die anymore. And he will live forever. Only God can live forever. If he's God's Son, he should be able to live forever. But in the baptism, in the transfiguration, it's before his death. So that's why in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, through the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. From God's perspective, not from human perspective, from the perspective of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power through his resurrection. Because when he is resurrected, he will not die anymore. And he will live forever. You know why I believe in Jesus Christ instead of believing in Buddha? Before I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in Buddha. But one thing I do know, when I was believing in Buddha, I never heard of any person celebrate the death of Buddha. Because when he died, he wasn't resurrected. He still died. If he cannot save himself, how can he save me? I say, forget it. I'm not going to believe in Buddha anymore. I believe in the person with power. He overcome death and he will not die anymore. How he was raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, and in the same way, he will raise us from death through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to read Acts 13, 33 and Psalm 2, 7. First of all, read Psalm 2, 7. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7.
I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my Son. Today I have become your Father."
So right beside the word today, you write down, is the day of his resurrection. Not the day of his baptism, which is Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Not on the day of his transfiguration, which is Matthew 17, 1 to 5. But on the day of his resurrection. I thank God that he revealed to Paul in Paul preaching. He explained it to us. So that's why we understand that day, today, is what day? Not the day of baptism, not the day of transfiguration, but the day of his resurrection. And then you write down Acts 13:33. Go to Acts 13:33. I want you to write it down first, okay? Write down not the day of baptism, and then Matthew 3:13-17. Not the day of transfiguration. He was transformed. Okay? With the glorious light shining from his body inside out. Matthew 17:1-5. But on the day of his resurrection. And then you write down on his day of resurrection. You write down Acts 13:33. You write down Romans. Chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. I tell you one thing. Romans chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. That's set apart from any other religion. None other religion. The founder of that religion was resurrected from the dead. Only Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? So that's why in the Easter day, we have on Friday, they call it Good Friday. When someone was dead, how can it be good? Because on Friday, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and died for our sins. But on Sunday, 3 days later, as it is recorded in the scripture, he was resurrected. He said that, I will die, but 3 days later, I wait for you in the mountain of Galilee. And his disciples forgot that. And yet, Jesus Christ is still waiting for them. You understand? In Matthew chapter 28, and then they go there, and they see Jesus. Read that, 13:33.
Yes, fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the seven Psalms, you are my son, today I have become your father.
So circle the word, by raising up Jesus. By raising up Jesus, God has fulfilled for us. Us, who are we? We are the children of God. What did he promise? He promised by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the Psalm, in the second Psalm, verse 7. You are my son. Today I have become your father. Okay, now go back. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I want you to write it down right beside Romans 1:4. And through the spirit of holiness, right beside the spirit, you write down 8:11. Through the spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, the son of David, was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Take a look. If Jesus Christ was not the son of David, he won't die. It's just because he is son of David, that's why he will die. And if Jesus Christ is not son of God, he won't be resurrected. And he resurrected from the dead. In those days, they can't answer Jesus' question. He say, oh, David was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy a footstool. If David was filled with the Holy Spirit, saying his son, calling his son, my Lord, and Jesus said, if the Messiah is the son of David, is the descendant of David, and how come David called him when David was filled with the Holy Spirit? Call his son of David, Lord, my Lord. Because David see that his son died on the cross for our sins, and 3 days later, he was resurrected. Do I make myself clear now? Joshua, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Tell me, what do you understand? If someone asks you, why, how come you believe in Jesus Christ? There's so many religions. A lot of people saying that. They are all the same. No, it's not the same. All universities are the same. No, they're not the same. All students are the same. No, they're not the same. Tell me what's the difference. How come the Messiah has to be the son of David? Why has to be son of David? Can he not be son of Benjamin? The reason why he has to be son of David, because it was prophesied in the Old Testament. The Messiah, the Savior of the whole world, has to come out from the Jews. Jewish people have 12 tribes. On the fourth son, they call Judah. And Judah gave birth to David. And God promised to David, because David loved the Lord. He said, you love me? You build my temple? And let me swear on oath and saying to you that your son will sit on the throne. And to become king forever and ever. You understand? That's why the Savior, the Messiah of the whole world, got to be the son of David. That's the reason. Okay. I make myself clear. Now go to chapter 8, verse 11. Jai, read that. Romans 8, 11.
And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you.
So, what is he trying to say to you? Chapter 8, verse 11. Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, in the future, when you die, who's going to raise you from the dead?
The Holy Spirit.
So do you have the Holy Spirit within your heart?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? If you do not have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you will be in deep, deep trouble. Before 8:11, right after 8:11 is 8:16. Right after 8:16 is 8:17. The Holy Spirit, together with my spirit, testify that I am the Son of God. I am the children of God. I am the child of God. So you know that you are children of God right now. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. If you do not have the Holy Spirit live inside you, you are not the children of God. What happens if I am the children of God? And I will be heir of God. Because I'm God's children. I will inherit everything God has provided for me. I will be heir of God. Co-heir with Jesus Christ. And if I suffer with Jesus right now, and I'm going to be glorified with Jesus in the future. Jai, could you read it? 8, 11, again, and then 16 and 17.
And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who lives in you. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory.
Now let me tell you one thing. When someone asks you, how can I know that you are son of God? You say, oh, because I go to the church every Sunday. No, that's not the reason. Wesley, are you son of God? What's the proof? Because you have a Bible? You have the Holy Spirit in my heart, okay? Oh, man. What's the proof that you have the Holy Spirit in your heart?
I have faith in God.
You have faith in God. What kind of faith is that? I want you to read. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That's the kind of faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Could you read it? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10.
That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
So Hannah, why if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, just by confession, you become the child of God? How come? Could you read that one more time? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10.
That if you confess in your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your heart that you confess and are saved.
How come? How come when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you'll be saved? How come? No, I'm just saying you just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. How come when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you be saved? Because I asked Wesley the question, what is the proof that you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? If you have the evil spirit in your heart, you will never confess Jesus is Lord. I want you to write it down right beside confess, chapter 10, verse 9, right beside confess. If you confess with your mouth, right beside the word confess, you write down 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 3. If the Holy Spirit is not in your heart, you will not confess that Jesus is Lord. It's only the Holy Spirit who is moving you, then you confess Jesus is Lord. You try that to all your friends. Ask them, follow after me. Let's pray. Let's confess that Jesus is Lord. He say, I know, I won't do that. Because he has the evil spirit in their heart, or in his heart. You understand? Read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3.
Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
If it's not the Holy Spirit moving you, you won't say that. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. is equivalent to Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit together with my spirit testify that I am the children of God. I'm the son of God. I'm God's child. When you realize that you are God's child, it's very easy for you to confess that Jesus is Lord. When you confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you are saved. Okay? Now, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If he is Lord, that means you are what? Your servant. Should a servant listen to the Lord in whatever the Lord commands you to do? Right after you confess Jesus is Lord with your mouth, and then you prove yourself to be the servant by obeying him. And some people confess Jesus is Lord in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, said Jesus, will be able to enter the kingdom of God. Because he only say with his mouth that he is Lord. And he never obeyed him. And that person doesn't have the Holy Spirit. If you indeed have the Holy Spirit within your heart, you not only confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now that he saved you from hell, he's supposed to go to hell. He saved you, he loved you so much, he saved your life. Should you not serve him ever since then? The Holy Spirit will say to you, you better serve him and follow him. You understand what I'm trying to say? You don't call someone Lord and then you become your own boss. Does it make sense? Anna? So what have you learned?
If you have the Holy Spirit in you, then you can confess that Jesus is Lord, but just because you say it with your mouth, but you don't do his will, doesn't mean you have the Holy Spirit. So you have to say it and you have to do God's will as well.
And how can I do God's will? Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, said Jesus, will be able to enter the kingdom of God. But those who do the will of the Father, we do not do the will of the Father according to my own flesh, according to my own power, according to my own strength. But we do the will of the Father by the what? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You write down Galatians 5:25. Galatians 3:3. Jaji, could you read that? I say that one more time. Right beside Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, will be able to enter the kingdom of God. But those who do the will of my Father will be able to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say, you do the will of the Father by your own strength. He said that you do the will of the Father by the help of the Holy Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, we should walk in step with the Holy Spirit. It is because the Holy Spirit who moved me and saying to me, Jesus is Lord, you better call him Lord. And then the same Holy Spirit moved me, say, he is really your Lord, you are his servant, you better obey him. You know, Donald, do not obey the teacher, get into problems. Can you imagine if you do not obey the counselor, the Holy Spirit, you'll be in deep, deep trouble. You understand, Donald? You got that? Don't just call him Lord, Lord, and don't listen to him. He will discipline us. If the earthly parent will discipline us, if the earthly teacher will discipline us, how much more the Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor, Holy Spirit. He will discipline us. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit fire. Okay? Jai, what are you reading?
Galatians 3:3.
Galatians 3:3. Right beside Galatians 3:3 and 5:23, you write down Matthew 7:21. Right beside Matthew 7:21, right beside by the will of the Father, you write down Galatians 3:3, Galatians 5:25. The Bible didn't say that, oh, you do the will of the Father, then you can go to the heaven. He expects you to rely upon your own strength. No, the Bible never expects you to rely upon your own strength. The Bible expects you to rely upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to raise you from the dead. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you to do the will of the Father. Okay? It is the Holy Spirit that we know that we are children of God. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit we know we be able to do the will of the Father. Could you read that first? 7:21 first, Matthew, and then 3:3:3, and then 5:25. So what do you write down? 7:21, Matthew. You write down right beside the will of my Father. You write down Galatians 3:3, Galatians 5:25. Could you do that? Read that?
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
In other words, if it is the Holy Spirit who moving you, according to 1 Corinthians 12:3, if you are not moved by the Holy Spirit, you won't call Jesus Lord. But now that you are moved by the Holy Spirit to call Jesus Lord, then you should be able to move by the Holy Spirit to obey Jesus, to follow after him. Okay? Begin with the work of the Holy Spirit, and then end with the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:3, Galatians 5:25.
Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?
What is the goal? The goal, right beside the goal, you write down the will of the Father. That's the goal. Each and every one of the Christians should attain the goal. What is the goal? You write beside the goal. You write down Philippians 2:12. What's the goal? The goal is do the work of salvation.
Philippians what?
Philippians 2:12. You write that down. We begin with the help of the Holy Spirit to let us know that Jesus is Lord. And then we call Jesus, you are my Lord. After that, we keep on being moved by the Holy Spirit to attain the goal. What the goal is to do the will of the Father so that we be able to enter the kingdom of God. What's the goal? Is to do the work of salvation with fear and trembling. Jean, could you read that? Philippians 2:12.
Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. That's the goal. Work out your salvation is to do the will of the Father. Don't be lazy when you go to a church. Learn God's word. Know what he expects of you to do. Work out your salvation. through God's ministry. Because the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to do that. Go back 3:3, Galatians. Read it one more time. You know what? What we learned today is totally different from the religions of Buddha. The Buddha say what? Now you got to work out your own thing. Do your best. No, the Bible didn't say do your best. The Bible say with the help of the Holy Spirit. We live by the Holy Spirit. We move by the Holy Spirit. And then we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. We begin our work with the Holy Spirit. We ended our work with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Can you imagine your parents give birth to you and say, oh, now you're a baby, a newborn baby, I leave you alone and see whether you survive. 10 days later, you pass away. You understand? Your parent has to raise you up, has to help you out, overcome numerous difficulties. Then you grow up. Am I right? Yes or no? Galatians 3:3. Say that one more time. Jai?
Are you so foolish?
Are you so foolish? A lot of people are foolish, right? They begin with the work of the Holy Spirit and then end up with their own flesh.
After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?
We never be able to attain our goal by human effort. We attain our goal by the help of the Holy Spirit. You get that? So you write down.
Yes.
Right beside it, you write down 5:25. Okay. You know what, brother and sister, I want you to memorize all these Bible verses that I tell you. It will do you a lot of good. Do you a lot of good. Okay? You hear me, David? It's good David bring his friends to come here, you know, right? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart?
No.
You don't know. That means you don't have it, right? Do you want to have the Holy Spirit in your heart so that you'll be raised from the dead in the future? Without the Holy Spirit, you are not a child of God. You're only the child of your parents, right? You're the son of, what's your last name? You're a son of Lee's family. Do you want to be son of God? Yes or no? You don't know? See? Did he have the Holy Spirit inside his heart? Do you? Yes or no? You don't know? Donald, do you know? He has the Holy Spirit in his heart? No. Okay, Galatians 5:25. Jai?
Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
If we live by the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit who begins His ministry in our life. He moves us. Hey, you better confess your sins. Jesus Christ is your Lord. They say, okay, I confess our sins. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And He begins that ministry. And then I become a newborn baby. And they say, well, from this day on, you are God's child now. You better listen to God. So I start reading the Bible and I start understanding it. And with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helped me and helped me to understand God's word. I wouldn't say, I don't know. I know. What? I want you to read that. What was your name?
Lee?
Emily Lee? Okay, go to John. Go to Gospel of John, okay? No, I'm not trying to make fun of you. You're my friend, okay? I'm happy that you come, okay? Good. Okay, go back to Gospel of John, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 26. Could you read that? Yeah? 4:16? 14:16 to 17. Could you read that? Counselor.
Counselor to be with you forever. The spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you.
So he lives with you. The person who believes in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit live inside him. And then 16, chapter 14, verse 26. So in other words, the Holy Spirit not only give you birth so that you become a newborn baby, the Holy Spirit will nurture you, help you to understand God's word. So that's why I say to a lot of people, say, oh, wait until I understand God's word, then I believe in Jesus. You will never believe in Jesus. You have to be born again first. You have to step out by faith, saying that I confess that I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ is my Savior, is my Lord. I let the Holy Spirit to move me to say that. Once I say that, I become born again. When I'm born again, the Holy Spirit enters into my heart. Ever since then, He's going to lead me into all truth and help me to understand God's word. You understand? It's only through the Holy Spirit you can understand God's truth. Because the Holy Spirit is called what? Counselor. The Holy Spirit called what? The Spirit of truth. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you will not understand the Bible. That's why you say, I don't know. That's why. But I know. Right? You don't know. But I know. Do you want to believe now? You want to open your heart and confess that you are a sinner? The spirit that I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit. When I sin against God, my heart is dirty. He has to cleanse my heart first before the Holy Spirit enters into my heart. Do you want to confess your sins and follow after me? I say one word, you say one word, and then the Holy Spirit enters into your heart. Do you want that? Yes or no? Okay? Wow, that's good. See? The kingdom of God belongs to the children. That's exactly what the Bible says. What about you? Why are you making such a noise? Well, for the kingdom of God belongs to the children. You are little children too, right? You want to enter in the kingdom of God? Try that? Because it is not the evil spirit entering into your heart, it's the Holy Spirit can make you be a better person. I tell you what is the Holy Spirit. Could you do me a favor? Turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and strength. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. If the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, you'll be wiser than before. Do you want it? Possibly or probably, it makes a lot of difference. Which one? You want to try? Together with this young man? Okay, let's try. Follow after me. Our Heavenly Father. Follow after me. Our Heavenly Father. Because, you know, before, I never called God my Father. Because when I called God my Father, my Heavenly Father, that means my God lives in heaven. And I am His Son. That's the first step. So that's why it's a prayer. That's like when you write a letter to your father, you say, Dear Father, right? And I call, my God is my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. All follow after me. Our Heavenly Father. I confess that I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I need Jesus Christ to save me from hell. I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But I know I cannot go there by my own strength. I know that I cannot go to heaven by my own strength. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins. And you promise us, if we confess our sins, and you promise to cleanse me, you promise to take away all my sins. And I pray that you do it now. Give me a new heart. Take away the heart of stone. And then give me the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit. And dwell within my heart. Dwell within my heart. Never leave me. I open my heart and ask Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, to enter into my heart so that I become the child of God today. I give you thanks for allowing me to pray like this. I give you thanks for allowing me to pray like this. It is not I who did it. It is the Holy Spirit who moved me to do it. I give you thanks for that. For saving me. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.